Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, anyone who has spent more than 5 minutes trying to put a child to sleep will be able to attest that people are still afraid of the dark in our world today. Our own kids sleep with a lot of light on in their rooms. Our son sleeps with a side table lamp that is completely on. He falls asleep with an instance. A fact that my wife likes to remind me of is a proof of his genetic relation to me. Our daughter likes to sleep with a myriad of lamps on, one, two, or three, and it's a, you know, sometimes we're not sure which ones to leave on, and we get told which ones to leave on. And so if you've ever tried then to not have the right amount of light on for a child, they will tell you, don't, mommy, don't, daddy, because why? They're afraid of the dark. They're afraid of many things that might scare them in the middle of the night. What are the things they come up with? They're scared of the monster in their closet, right? They're scared of the monster under their bed. They're afraid of being alone, and all these things happen to them when the lights go off because their imaginations start to tell them that in the dark, they're not safe. Now, no matter how much we can tell them there's no monsters in the closet, there's no monsters under the bed, they still insist on having the light on because they're afraid of the dark, and they're afraid of what they think could happen to them. Now, this happens for kids on a regular basis, but isn't it also true that as adults, that we're also still afraid of the dark a little bit? We may not be afraid of the darkness that is literal darkness at night in our bedrooms, although sometimes having a nightlight on so you don't trip on the clothes that you've left out and all the time your wife has told you to put them away and you haven't done them yet, but you know, that light helps us all, right? But aren't we afraid of what comes to our hearts and minds in the darkness? Kids might not be able to put the words around it, but we can. We know that in the darkness, there's a sense of our lives coming before our eyes, and maybe we're afraid of what we see. There's a sense of vulnerability that comes in the darkness because we can't see who's coming. We have imagination of what might be on us in the darkness. There's different things that happen to us in the darkness that really shows us that there is something in our lives that we are fearful of. Because when we're in the dark, we think there's danger. And when we think there's danger, we start to fear. Now, we all know that there are many things that can cause this kind of fear in our hearts and our minds. There's these things that we have going on in our lives that we wish weren't so. Some of us have concerns that are from the day before. Anybody go through their minds and say, oh, I wish I would have done this better, or I wish I would have done that better. Or some of you might play the day ahead that you have to come and say, I wish I could do this better in the day to come. And you start to worry and have fear about what's going to happen in the next day. I know some of us have fear around our relationships. We're not satisfied with the way that we're conducting ourselves, with the way we treat one another. Some of us have issues in our marriage. Some of us have issues at work. Some of us have issues with our parents. Some of us have issues with our kids. And all these things, when they come together, they can cause some fear in our lives. Fear of the darkness that it either represents that we know about, or fear of a darkness that we don't know about. And this is one of the challenges that we face in our world today, that no matter who we are, no matter where we are, it seems that there's more darkness than there is light. It seems like we are facing more and more moments of darkness, and we're not always sure what to do with it. And we're not always sure how to overcome the anxiety that comes with those things. We're not always sure how to overcome the vulnerability that comes with the darkness. But what's beautiful about how God loves us, and what's beautiful about what God has done for us, is that God has defeated the power of darkness. God has defeated the power of darkness in this world so that we do not have to fear the darkness anymore. That isn't to say that God has done away with fear or that God has done away with the darkness, but it is to say that God has defeated the power of fear so that while we might still have fears, God does not want us to be afraid of our world anymore. God does not want us to be fearful of the lives we have. Instead, rather, God wants to celebrate the fact that there is light to be had in our lives. that God wants to celebrate the fact that God has brought into our being and into this world a sense of the light into the darkness. That God wants us to have hope that the darkness has not won and the darkness will not win. Now, another way to say this and to form it in the phrase of a question, it's like God is asking us, have you heard that a light shines in the darkness? Have you heard that God has sent a light into this world so that we no longer have to fear the darkness? God is sharing with us in this season once again that a light has come into the world so that we might have hope. We might have confidence that God has defeated the power of fear and darkness in our lives and in this world so that we can have the kind of life God wants for us. So that we can celebrate what God has done for us now and always. Now, being able to say and answer that question, have you heard that a light shines in the darkness? That is, of course, exactly what the Advent and Christmas season is all about, right? We are celebrating with and for each other the fact that God has sent Jesus into the world, who we hear in the words of the Gospel of John is the light of the world. That Jesus is the source of the life that God wants for us. That's what we celebrate in Advent, and that's what we celebrate in Christmas. And one of the things that is true about our day and age is that we need to be reminded of this, because it's so easy, at least for me, it's so easy, and I think it is for some of you as well, to lose sight of the fact that God has defeated the power of darkness, that God has defeated the power of fear, that God has sent the light of Christ into the world so that we don't have to wonder anymore what God has been up to. We don't have to wonder if God is with us in the darkness. We don't have to wonder if God is if we should be afraid anymore. We don't have to wonder if God has done what is needed to give us confidence and hope that God is with us, because God sent Jesus into this world to be the light. God sent Jesus into the world so that we could experience the life that God wants for us. This is one of those beautiful things that comes to us in the reading from John that we had this morning, is this reminder of who Jesus is. Now, it's one of those things that when we read it and we hear it, we know and we celebrate the fact that God has sent Jesus into the world, and we understand that Jesus is the light to help us in the darkness. But I think for some of us, and for myself in particular, I need that reminder of just exactly who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing for us. And what Jesus is doing for us is he is showing us what God wants for us. He is showing us the kind of life that God wants for us. And he's showing what God has done and what God has already done and reminding us of what God has yet to do. And this is the beautiful thing that we celebrate, is we can remind ourselves of what God has done in Christ, and we can remind ourselves then also of what God promises is yet to come. And that's what we celebrate in this very moment, especially of Advent as well. We celebrate this opportunity that we have to be reminded of the fact that what God has already done is a beautiful thing in Christ, that the light has come, but God has not yet done the final work of bringing about the new heaven and the new earth, which brings together to all these things and helps us understand what God is up to. Because if we look at the one side of it, we find ourselves recognizing that God has brought Jesus into the world to bring the light so that there's no more power in the darkness. Again, it doesn't get rid of fear, it doesn't get rid of darkness, but it helps us not to fear them as they are. But it also reminds us that there's work yet to be done in the world, because the world, while has the light, is not all the place that God wants it to be. And the celebration and the waiting that we have now for Jesus' birth reminds us of the promise that God has for us all. The promise that is started in Christ, and that promise is that Jesus will one day come again and will finish the work that God has started in Christ. That God will finish the work that God then continues through followers of Jesus, just like yourselves in the world today, that serve as a reminder of what God has been doing and what God continues to do, which is help people to know that God is with them, that God is with you, and that while we might have fears, we do not have to fear the power of darkness anymore. And that's what we celebrate. And that's what we lift up. And that's why we gather all the time, but that's why we gather in this season as well. And so as we enter into this journey, as we find ourselves preparing for Christmas, I want to ask out loud and see if we can answer together, how can we make this season matter more than the previous one? What are some ways that we can make the season of Advent count at this time of year to help us remember these things? to help us remember that God loves us and has sent the light of Christ into the world. So I have a few ideas on how that might be able to do, how we might be able to do that, and then I want to offer an invitation. So one idea to consider is today or someday in the week to come, simply tell God thank you. Tell God thank you for sending the light of Christ into the world. When's the last time that you paused to say, tell God thank you for Jesus? Maybe you do it more often than I do, but I need a reminder of this. So maybe it's in a prayer, you just say it to God. Maybe you're somebody who journals and you write it out. Maybe today you're gonna pause. The Bears aren't playing, so you got time, right? To write a letter to God that says, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the light of Christ. Now this exercise is probably a helpful one, I hope, but maybe this year it'll be the thing that puts you on a different trajectory for this holiday season, because it helps you remember the reason for the season beginning from December 1st. So that's one idea. Just take a moment to say thank you to God. Another idea is to ask yourself, is there a fear that I need to work on? Is there a fear in my life that I'm giving too much power to? Is there a fear that I need to turn over to God to help me make progress on? Not because God is going to get rid of that fear, but because God is going to help defeat the power of that fear in your life. Maybe in a quiet moment of introspection, you can ask yourself, is there something that God is speaking to me about that I can say no longer has power over me, that I can make progress in this holiday season so that I can celebrate that the light of Christ has entered into my life, that God does not want me to fear anymore, that God wants me to celebrate that. Maybe there's something that you can ask yourself to work on, that you can ask God to work on in your life. And the last thing to think about is, maybe you can help somebody else with their fear. Maybe in this holiday season, you are feeling like God has been at work in your life and you're in a good place and you're looking around you and you see fear in other people's lives. And you're wondering to yourself, well, what's that fear in their life that I might be able to help them with? What's the thing that is holding them back from the life that God wants for them to experience the light of Christ in their life? And I hope you don't have to spend too much time wondering what that is, because you know what? It's the same list that you have. Sometimes we pretend that other people don't have the same problems we do. You know what happens with us is we tend to spend time with people that are like us, and that has an upside and a downside, right? But today there's an upside to that, because we tend to spend time with people who have similar fears to us. We tend to spend time with people who have similar concerns that we do. So maybe you have a suspicion of a concern or a fear that somebody in your life has, and you're not sure that you're ready to tackle that with them. That's okay. Maybe you know what it is and you can help them in this holiday season. You can say to them, it seems that you are concerned about this. Or ask them, or say to them, you know, it seems like you're fearing something. Is there something going on that you want to talk about? If you extend that invitation to them, you will extend a lifeline to them. You will extend a lifeline of your hope and your love, and you will extend the light of Christ into their life. Now, maybe that feels too big. Maybe that feels too ambitious to actually tackle one of the things that is a fear or a concern for them. But maybe you know somebody who has fears or concerns, and you just are going to simply take an opportunity to help them in the holiday season. Couldn't we all use somebody who knows we're anxious, who knows we're fearful, who knows we're concerned, that says, you know, I'm going to come and help you get ready for that party you have going on. You didn't invite me, you know, but I'm still going to come help you get ready for it. Maybe invite yourself to help them for a party you are going to. I don't know. You can talk to Jesus about that one. Or that you know that they have family coming over and that they get overwhelmed by that. Maybe there's a broken relationship that you know about that you're just not ready to talk to them about, or they're not ready to talk about, but you can go and help them get ready for when their family's going to come. Because watch what happens, right? If you can go help them get ready for that family to come, it's going to be less concerning for them that they're going to come. If you can help them get ready for that moment, whatever it might be, then they're going to have less fear about what might transpire in their home. And when you have done that, you have helped them conquer the power of fear in their life. Now, maybe one of these ideas resonates with you, maybe one doesn't. And I hope that you can find one of those ideas to be helpful to you as we go into continuing to celebrate this Advent season. But for all of us who are here today, I want to extend an invitation. And that's an invitation to the table that is before us. I want to extend an invitation to all of us to celebrate the light of Christ. I want to extend an invitation to all of us to celebrate what God has already done and what God is yet to do. Because when we come to this table, that's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating what Christ has already done for us through the breaking of the body, through the shedding of his blood, and through his resurrection from the dead. But we're also celebrating what is yet to come, which is Christ's return. Every time we come to this table, we actually bring a little bit of Advent into the world. We bring a little bit of the reminder of what God has done for us and a reminder of what God promised to do for us. So my invitation will be to come to the table to partake of the bread and the cup, and in so doing, to remind ourselves that this bread and this cup represent the light of Christ, represent the hope we have, that they can remind us that God asks us, have you heard that a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it? And we can say, yes, we have heard. The light has come. So let us celebrate that now. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.